You're listening to Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran. Guys, don't forget to check us on Apple Podcasts, but I have a special thing coming up, which is we're now on Spotify. Check us out on Spotify and subscribe and like. And also, if you want to donate money to the podcast, we're now also on Anchor. So check out Anchor Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest. She's a comedian, actress, director, writer, and pruner. She has this awesome blog called Eat My Prune. Very, very sexy and fun name, Dixie Perkinson. Dixie, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. I don't know if we're going to have anything to talk about on this podcast because we've been blabbing for 40 minutes straight.
I know. Well, we've known each other since high school.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
That is insane.
That's long. I don't think I talked to anyone from high school except for sometimes I spy on people on Instagram.
Oh, like who?
I don't think anyone you know.
Okay.
I spy on them and judge them harshly.
You know, I was hanging out with Ben.
Oh, when?
Well, he's a pilot.
I still haven't seen him. So Ben, for those listeners who really don't care or know, I think I went to senior prom with him. Mm-hmm. He was a friend of ours.
Yeah. No, he's a pilot and he drinks.
Oh, okay.
Which is common.
For pilots?
Yeah.
That's scary, guys.
It is scary.
All right. Let's talk about your amazing blog. You have a blog called Eat My Prune. First of all, where did you get that name?
You know, I don't know. It just, well, I was Googling, you know, it wasn't taken, which I'm so surprised, you know. And I wanted it to be somewhat sexual, but not too sexual. And I was just looking at, I wanted something like Eat My, and then... like, yeah, maybe prune, but also it doesn't have to be sexual. It could be like, here's some, you know, nutrition. You
know, I think it's a really, really great name. It's very sexual and also non-sexual, but empowering. It's very, mm-hmm. It's an empowering name. Mm-hmm. And I think you started blogging to talk about some of the, you know, pain and things in your past. I just read your last blog entry where you... discovered, I don't know if you accept this therapist's viewpoint or not, that you were a victim of incest.
Yeah. Well, that's still hard. I mean, I hate the I word. I still do.
It sounds scary, right?
It's just, you think of incest, you think of like...
like rednecks.
Redneck strippers doing meth, you know, and living in a trailer.
You guys had like a big nice mansion that was trailer-esque.
Yes. Yeah. It was definitely, yeah, it was, that house had its own story.
It's gone now.
I know. I've been back.
There's like a big mansion. Mm-hmm.
Have you been back too?
I didn't. I Google Mapsed it.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if the house is still there.
No, it's not. No. And there was a beautiful tree and they cut it down too.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's weird because my dad, he never touched me, but he made me watch him have sex consistently throughout my childhood. And
I definitely don't want to make fun of this serious topic as this is not a comedy podcast, but the way you said that, I thought you sounded disappointed. You're like, he never touched me.
Well, I know. Well, my I know. Well, I feel
I
like my
good enough.
There's actually
I'm sorry to hear that happened.
Yeah, no, I felt like my dad never loved me, but he only, you know, he only gave attention to those that he fucked. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a good thing that also I don't think my dad was attracted to me. He wanted me to get breast implants.
That's very odd, and I feel, to say for a dad to his daughter.
I was a senior in high school. Well, I actually think I brought you up.
Uh-oh.
Because can I be... Can
sure,
I,
be okay. Honest.
Because I think your mother like wanted your sister to get plastic surgery or something. And I brought that up because there's nothing wrong with that. Would you consider to get breast implants?
Are you talking to me or are you saying hypothetical?
No, my dad. Oh, no, okay. Because your mom wanted, or maybe wanted you to get plastic surgery.
She wanted me to get chin surgery, actually. And because she thought my chin was too inverted and I had like a, which I kind of do, but I told her she actually, so as a graduation gift, my mother offered me $10,000 for plastic surgery. And I said, no, mom, I don't want to get plastic surgery. I'm actually happy with the way I look. Can I just have the $10,000? And she's like, no.
Oh my God.
I really wanted that 10 grand.
Yeah. See,
so you brought me up and your dad said, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I was horrified when I found, I don't know if you told me, or Cammy told me that or something, my brother.
Who, hi, Cammy. Yeah. We're still friends, but not for the reason you want.
Yeah, no, I know. I felt like if I had bigger breasts, then maybe my dad would have.
You told me, you know, which I was shocked by, that you were picked on growing up for being overweight. Now, I have known you since you were 15 or 16, and I didn't find you overweight at all. You have a normal, very svelte body, and you always have.
No, I know. I got made. Well, I went to Country Day, that awful private school, and then I went to McMain, an all-black high school where kids were actually obese, you know, yeah. Where they were eating, like, they can only afford to eat McDonald's, and where I was just maybe a little chubby, just a little. But no, kids made fun of me like every day, and I'm still not over it.
Yeah, and you print about it.
And I print about it. Yeah. And some of them read it. Some, you know.
Have you ever gotten any apologies?
I've gotten a couple apologies, not from a few, not from you. Well, he went to Franklin, this guy who I hate. Who I despise. Maybe you know him.
Let's not say his name on the air in case he's a high-powered attorney now and sues my little podcast for slander.
No, well, I won't mention his last name.
Okay.
Jay.
Okay.
Are you friends with him?
No, but he is an attorney, actually. I think.
Oh, really?
I think. No, I think he does something physics. He does something in physics. Hmm. I used to follow people online just to stalk them, but then I thought this is not healthy for me. So I like got rid of everyone that I am not currently friends with.
That's good.
Yeah. And I don't go on Facebook. I just go on Instagram and Twitter.
I need to do the same.
Facebook's really bad.
It is. But everybody's on it. I know everybody talks about leaving, but I'm still addicted. I am. Well, just recently, one of my dad's ex-girlfriends messaged me through Facebook. So,
well, let's talk about that. Okay. So that the listeners have some context. So you weren't a victim of incest as far as you being molested or raped or anything, but you did have a very misogynistic and difficult upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And it is sexual abuse. I mean, my dad having sex in front of, I mean, that is sexual abuse.
Yeah, it is, you know. Mm-hmm. That's something that, now, were you in your teens or a young girl?
I was a young girl before I even knew what was happening. Like, I'd be in the backseat of the car as he was getting a blowjob from a toothless hooker. Mm-hmm. And one of my first memories, I thought that this woman was, like, tying my dad's shoe.
Oh, that's really sad and really sweet.
I didn't understand what was happening, you know? But then later, I'm like, oh, no, she's...
That's actually... Him. Yeah, that's actually
but
very
But one of my earliest innocent. Memories was I thought that... She was tying his shoe because I was just learning how to tie my shoe.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, I know.
It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. And very sad.
Yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, no, up until like a teenager. Yeah.
And have you confronted him about this?
I did. But he denies it. But, you know, my brother, he confirms it, but he just says big deal.
So he doesn't feel like there's anything wrong with that.
No. No. And he says, yeah, big deal. Get over it. Dad never touched you. Who cares?
When was the first time that you started to realize that there was something wrong with it?
Well, I was annoyed because my dad would, like, sexually humiliate my stepmother. And I'd be like, oh, Dad. Like, as if he was doing some annoying, like, dad thing, you mm-hmm. know?
Like a dad joke.
Yeah. But he would, like, you know... jiggle my stepmother's breasts, like, in front of all my friends, like, as if, yeah. But I would just be annoyed. It wasn't until I started talking about it and I had a boyfriend and I started, like, telling him, like, what happened. And, yeah, I just saw, like, the look on his face. But it wasn't until I started talking to people.
That's good. So I think there's a lot of power to sharing that because, unfortunately... You know, a lot of us grow up in dysfunctional households, but we consider it normal because mm-hmm. that's how we've grown up. And it isn't until we go out into the bigger and greater world that we realize that there may be some dysfunction involved in it. I mean, can you imagine now being a 36-year-old woman and having someone do that to you, how humiliated you would be?
Yeah. No, it's all. And then that's another thing that my brother didn't understand, like, why now? Because I don't talk to my dad. He's like, so you were talking to him every day up until then? Up until now, like, why now? I'm like, well, it just things kind of hit you kind of at a later date. And it wasn't until my, you know, and actually until I turned 30 and I realized that I wanted to be a parent. And I'm like, and then I saw how like my dad was. I'm like, oh, my dad did not protect me at all, you know. And then I realized, wow, he actually put me in very dangerous situations and he was not a good parent. And actually he harmed me in a lot of ways. But it wasn't until I looked at it from a parent's point of view, which yes. was at 30.
Yes. And I just want to say that, you know, for those of you who have listened to the podcast before and had listened to some of my psychiatrists and psychological experts, we know that trauma does not have to be physical. So it doesn't have to be someone molesting you or beating you for you to be traumatized and the effect of that trauma on your actual development. So it's a very serious matter and it's something that should be taken into account and taken seriously. And children should be protected and loved and not put in those situations. Do you think that he was mentally ill?
Yeah, no, my dad, yeah, he's very sick. I don't know, mental illness, you know, so vague. But yeah, he's not well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's funny, yeah. funny to us. Mm-hmm. I was privy to one or more communist manifestos, so I'm aware. I was cornered a couple times with some, socialist rhetoric. I don't know if you know about the socialist lectures.
No.
So it's odd for someone to claim to be very liberal and also misogynistic, don't you think?
Is it?
I think so. I think the stereotype is that more conservative men tend to be misogynistic. It's a stereotype, as I'm stating.
But then I know I'm going to say something crazy, but even Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And what he did to Monica Lewinsky, I mean, was so awful. And
he's a liberal guy.
He's liberal. And
so you think it's a power thing?
I think it's a power thing. And you like just, she was like, what, 22 or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. It just right now, thinking about it right now, like totally disgusts me. But no, my dad, he was very liberal but he was very misogynistic, but he never, you know, he never paid taxes he would like open, if I were at dinner with him, like if I had to go to the bathroom, he would stand up, you know, he was very much a gentleman, always wear suits, would open the car, you know, open up the car door and everything, but then that was it. And then
So how empowering has it been for you to write down these very, very hard stories? I mean, some of them you talk about your dad getting arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a heavy duty pruner, but I've pruned a couple prunes. I've eaten a couple of your prunes. I don't read every episode, but, you know, if you mention it, I'll be like, oh, let's check out what's going on with Dixie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the stuff is very, very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think I cried a couple prunes.
Mm.
So you're definitely touching people, not in an inappropriate way.
good.
So I mean, was it hard for you? Were you scared? Because you know, it's easy for people to judge. It's easy for people to, you know, watch entertainment, read blogs, read entertainment, because they're separated from it, right? But I know you, and I know, you know, family is really tough because you could be disowned possibly, or you know, hurt a relationship by what you're divulging. You're divulging really private, personal stuff.
Yeah. Well, for so long I was protecting him, you know? And I'm like, why am I protecting him?
Why were you protecting him?
I was just ingrained. I don't know why. I've always kept it a secret. Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why men can abuse children. They don't have to say, don't tell anyone. You know, like, that's like unspoken, like a kid won't speak up. It's just ingrained in us, you know? And that's why kids are such easy targets.
Oh, so sad.
So sad. But it feels really good just to speak up. Well, for so long I was like ashamed about my past and I'm like, oh, I'm fucked up and you know, nobody's gonna love me and I'm so dark. And just speaking up and kind of being loved even more so because of it has like been everything. You know?
I think when you're really authentic, then you bring out people that are authentic as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be living a false life. And trauma is a great way to express yourself because it's part of who you are, Dixie.
Yeah. No, yeah, it does feel good just to call things out. And yeah, I'm so glad 2019, I'm just done with protecting people that do not need to be protected, you know?
There's only two people you need to protect: yourself and your future child.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
That's awesome. You're quite the feminist as well. Does that affect you being such a feminist? Is your dad, you know, I grew up with Dixie and heard some of the things her dad would say about women, you know, about their body parts,
mm-hmm.
about what they're good for and things like that. And
yeah, no, I wish I was more of a feminist. I mean, I'm still affected by that. You know, my dad would say the bigger the breast, the more womanly you are. And sometimes I feel like, ugh, I'm not a real woman because my breasts aren't big, you know? And I still suffer like with my body image. I wish I could just say, fuck it. But I can't.
Oh, you need to do a women's retreat. Those are the best.
I've done it. But deep down, I'm like, oh, my belly, my thighs.
Okay, well, then you need to go to the Korean spa once a week.
Okay. Okay. I can commit to that.
I love the Korean spa. For those of you who don't know, the Korean spa, all nude, all women's spa. And it's not all Korean. And you just see so many different body shapes and types in there. And you're just like, you know what? I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, it's hard being in LA because, and also as an actor, because you go to these auditions and they're like, oh, wow, everybody is so perfect.
I know, but you never know. You know, one of the biggest commercials that I ever booked, I was supposed to be, I can't remember, like a nerd or something like that. But everyone was like a hot nerd, right? Because mm-hmm. you're like at the audition, you're like, these aren't nerds.
Yeah.
And I saw this little redheaded girl who was absolutely stunning. And I'm just saying a girl, she probably was a woman, but she just looked so young, so much younger than me and so beautiful. And I thought, oh, she's definitely going to get it. I said, you know, she had those hipster glasses and she just looked so cute and nerdy. And then I booked it. You know, I didn't think in a million years I would, just looking at her in my mind, I was like, that's exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to want me.
Yeah. But you're wanted.
Yes.
You're a nerd. You don't look like a nerd, though. You really don't.
You're so nerdy. Thank you, Dixie. So you did have some really, really positive female influences, though. I mean, you talked about a lot about your dad. Your mother was tragically, unfortunately, killed mm-hmm. when you were very young. But you have this amazing group of aunts who are like these positive pro women, I think, feminists.
Yeah, no, women have saved my life. Like my grandmother, she moved into my house when I was a baby and I slept in the same bed with her till I was 12. And then my dad kicked her out. But I think that's one of the big differences between me and my brother is that, you know, my dad clung onto my brother and then my grandmother clung onto me. And I was just unconditionally loved. And then, yeah, my aunt, I've got like a couple great aunts and yeah, cousins and just being loved, you know?
Yeah.
Just, and seeing me completely, you know, not just for like one thing, you know?
How would you like to be seen?
Well, just as a whole person, not just my accomplishments, you know.
Of which there are many.
Yeah. But like of just the good and the bad, like for just my just everything, you know. I feel like men can only see certain things, or even parents. Oh, did you do this? Did you do that? You know, and you're not appreciated as just like a whole person.
This might sound really, really weird because you're talking about, you know, this abuse and stuff like that. But I actually was jealous of your family.
What?
Because I felt like you were supported, even though it was a bit of a dictatorship support.
You were jealous of my dad?
I felt that he really believed in you and I felt that he wanted you. I mean, I felt like he more wanted your brother. But also, I mean, I never was promoted to do any type of creative outlet. I mean, even though you were forced to play the violin
mm-hmm.
to your chagrin.
Yeah.
Dixie, violin time!
Yeah.
I was kind of jealous of that because I didn't have that experience. You know, my experience was that the arts were not cool. and that I was to stay away from them at all costs, and that they were frivolous and ridiculous. And I wanted to do art. You know, I remember I wanted to be a cheerleader when I was 15, and my mom's like, cheerleading is for whores. And I was like, okay. I guess I won't do that then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so crazy that you were.
I was very jealous of that. I was like, oh, Dixie's so lucky.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I was like. Like, he would come, her dad would come screaming and knocking on our door, you know, time to practice the violin or time to practice the piano.
It was awful.
I saw the misery on your face.
Yeah.
But I was jealous. I was like, wow, I wish someone, you know, wanted me to do something artistic.
It seems like you didn't, yeah, your parents didn't want you to play the violin.
I play the violin for a little bit, but they didn't really believe in me. I interpreted, knowing your father, I think he was just manic, but... I interpreted as a teen girl as he really believed in you, and
he's very narcissistic. It was all about him,
yeah,
and how he looked.
I see that now in hindsight as an adult, but as a teen girl, I saw it as, wow, he really believes in Dixie. She must be really talented.
Mm. Wait, so did you think I was weird?
I really liked you, and I felt that you didn't like me. I didn't feel like anyone in your family really liked me, and I felt like I was like a complete outcast, but I really liked you. I really liked you. I did.
I remember we hung out once on my graduation night. Do you remember that?
Maybe if you remind me.
No, we hung out, and it was weird.
I felt that you thought I was weird and you didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I guess I was kind of hurt by you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't be hurt by me.
Well, no, now I'm not.
But I wanted us to be like BFF.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I was like, oh, Dixie's so cool. I thought you were like the bee's knees.
What? No, yeah. Stop it. I was the biggest weirdo.
Okay, this is such... a West Bank, East Bank thing. You were like the coolest thing I like ever met. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know anyone that like, you were like out of my comfort zone. I was like, this chick is like so cool.
Of all the things I was doing, I dated the.
Oh my God. She was doing, I think I went to see you do Midsummer Night's Dream. And I was like, who is this girl? I was just like in awe of you.
Oh, stop.
I'm being serious. My parents wouldn't let me touch acting with a 10-foot pole. I was in the world of like, I need to be completely covered at all times and be modest and not smile. I remember my mom used to tell me, I've been doing stand up for like 10 plus years, even the first 2 years doing stand up. My mom would be like, you shouldn't laugh loud. It's not ladylike. Like, she didn't even like me laughing. Like, I was just to be I was there to be controlled by everything. And to see you perform and go to NOCA and just do your thing. NOCA was for those listeners who don't know, the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. I was like in awe of you. I was like, who is this girl? And I wanted us to be BFF.
Wow. Well, I did not know that.
And you were like, oh, who is this girl dating my brother? Get away from me.
Yeah, no, I have to be honest with you. Yeah, maybe it was a jealousy thing too.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Please don't be jealous.
No.
16-year-old me.
No. But jealousy of, I guess of taking my brother away from me.
Oh my God.
But it's hard.
Please take him back.
No, it's hard. But so, and also. I was jealous of like your body. I remember you wearing like backless shirts.
Yes. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm actually positive.
Oh my gosh.
Backless shirts.
I don't remember that. I don't think that happened, Dixie.
It did. It did happen.
I am not a backless shirt girl.
Well, you were in high school.
So you were jealous. You were jealous.
I was jealous in that you took my brother away, because my brother and I, we weren't really good friends because there's a 6-year age difference. But then after my stepmother left, my brother and I became very close friends. And then, you know, I helped him. He had a public access TV show, which is how you guys met. And yeah, we would hang out a lot. And then he just...
I'm telling you, I was just in awe of your whole family. I was just like, your brother was like doing the TV show. You were like going to NOCA. See, Dixie doesn't know about my, this is white privilege. I went over to her side. She never went over to my side. That's and how bad it was. So this was like, I was like, oh my. And even though you guys, you know, lived in a falling apart mansion, you guys had a mansion. You know, I lived in a little dinky house in the West Bank.
It was not a mansion.
It was a mansion.
I mean, it was a big house, but it was falling apart. It had rats and roaches.
I don't remember that part, but I do remember it was falling apart.
Yes, definitely.
So my original comment was to you. I know that you're talking about all this trauma, but just know that sometimes there's a different point of view that you might not be aware of. Mm.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah, for me, I hate it. I wanted to be anybody else. Like, I did not want to be myself. And
that's for the listeners too. If you're going through a rough situation, just know somebody else wants to be you, or looks up to you, even in your bad situation.
Crazy.
That's what I think of when I'm having a bad day. There's a quote that says, you know, when you have a bad day, remember there's someone that would die to be you. And it's true. You know, we live in the first world. There's probably millions of people who live in poverty or other things who would die to have one of our bad days.
Yeah, there's somebody that's jealous over you right now. That's like Googling you and like wishing they were Rosie Tran.
They're like, fuck this bitch.
No, but they wish they were you.
She wears backless shirts.
No, I was always jealous because I wanted to wear a backless. And I did have a backless shirt, but I didn't feel comfortable wearing it.
I believe you, but I'm just so doubtful because I have such a hairy back.
No.
Are you sure it wasn't my sister?
Yeah. No, I'm positive. But didn't you have a lot of friends, though?
I always felt like an outsider. You know, it was really, really hard because I went to a gifted school and I was very smart, but I didn't fit into the gifted school smart. So I knew I wasn't going to be a doctor. I knew all the kids were like doctors and lawyers kids, and their parents were like pushing them to be doctors and lawyers, you know, and engineers. And I knew that that wasn't my path, but I didn't know what my path was. I just knew that wasn't my path. And I wasn't hyper competitive and I wasn't a brainiac. I think I had more common sense intelligence, and it was very difficult for me. And then I didn't fit in, you know, there was Asians. And they were like very Asian. And then there was white people and they were white. And then there was black people. And then there was some Indian kids. But there was no one like me. You know, the Asians were very, very, very Asian. And it was very important to them to be Asian. And their identity was being Asian. And it was very ironic because I don't know if this is hard to understand, but I was actually more Asian than them. But I wasn't so addicted to that identity. So, for example, a lot of the kids couldn't speak Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. Well, I speak, you know, very fluent Vietnamese, but I don't have an accent. I think you probably went to school with a lot of these Viet kids at McMaine.
Yeah.
Where they're very, very Asian and they're so into being Asian. And I love my culture and I love my heritage and I speak Vietnamese and I understand the culture very well. But, you know, half of these kids spoke with a Vietnamese accent and they don't even speak Vietnamese. I'm like, why are you talking with that accent? I'm like, you don't even speak Vietnamese. Why are you talking like that? And so that was part of their identity. And so I was an outcast from that group. And so to me, I was an Asian American and there was no room for that. Mm. And also there was still a lot of racism in the 2000s. You know, I remember I'd go out with your brother and people in Metairie would give us dirty looks.
Oh my God. Well, it's so racist and it's very segregated. You know, yeah, the Asian kids in my school all stuck together. You know,
it was very racist, I felt.
Very racist.
I just wanted to be friends with everyone and be just a normal human being. And I felt like there was no place to just be a normal person. Like, you had to be in a group.
Yeah, no, I remember you meeting my great grandmother, Omama.
Your great, or is it great great or great great great?
No, great great grandmother.
I think she swallowed a tooth when I met her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she woke up and she said, I just swallowed my tooth.
Oh.
Oh, nice to meet you. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet.
No, she's so sweet.
I didn't feel racism from her.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
Were you concerned about that?
Yeah. I mean, she said the N-word, but she didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And but only because she's so sweet, but she just doesn't. She lived, you know, she's Cajun. She was. She's dead. But, yeah, maybe a little.
I didn't experience the, you know, I did experience a lot of racism from your dad. Mm-hmm. But it was veiled. It was very veiled. It wasn't overt. Mm-hmm. It was kind of sugar-coated racism.
Really? My dad?
Yeah.
It was sugar-coated?
It was sugar-coated racism, yeah.
He like, wasn't...
It wasn't overt. It was very passive-aggressive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it would be on the nose.
No. It was very it was very passive-aggressive. Like, we would be eating crawfish or something, and he would be like, oh, Asian people don't know how to eat crawfish. Or I don't know. He would just say, like, little weird comments, and I was like, okay.
That, yeah, does not make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah. I wasn't offended by it, actually. Okay. I was more offended by his singing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited that you're blogging about this because it's very important, and I don't want anyone to tell you to stop and to tell you that you shouldn't speak your truth, because speaking your truth is one of the most empowering things that you can do.
It really is. I mean, it's so healing, but more than that, I don't know. It just feels good to just tell my story, you know, because that's all we have is our stories. So it's just, it's good to just write it out and see what's what, and see that, of course, we have to have this, conflict, and just to lay out all the bad things and then see how you can overcome them.
Do you think that any of the things that happened to you growing up, you know, the misogyny and other things, you know, feeling, you said you felt like a weirdo, you're made fun of for being overweight, have any of them empowered you, and have they been a blessing in disguise?
Yes. Let's see. Well, I definitely feel like I am a proud feminist, and that I'm just so excited for the time that we're living in. And I just am a big, like, woman supporter, and I'm like, I just want everyone to speak up. Let's, you know, time's up. Let's call these men out, you know.
Let's talk about this, because you mentioned that you did not have many female friendships growing up, mm-hmm. and that you had a distraught relationship with women, and now you have a lovely group of female friends, and that you discovered female friendship as an adult.
Yeah.
Do you think that the boogeyman of women are out to get you, women are your competition, was something, and, you know, some people might shriek at this sentence, that is kind of put upon us by the patriarchy to kind of divide?
Yes, because if you have women friends, you then talk, you know? And so if you make everyone your enemy, and that's another thing my dad said, you know, your friends are your worst enemies, they're going to take up your time, you should be doing anything else. And yeah, I don't know. I was always like relating, because I only saw myself as a sexual object. So I would only be friends with guys, you know, guys that wanted to sleep with me. And I was never friends with women, because I'm like, also, what am I going to get out of it? Like,
and what have you gotten out of it?
So just to be listened to and without the sex element, you know. Yeah, I have more women friends than I ever have before. And before, yeah, I was just so, it was hard for me because I felt so uncomfortable, because I'm like, what am I supposed to give if I don't give my vagina, you know?
So do you think that your lack of desire for female friendships came from your lack of self-worth?
Wait, can you say that one more time?
Do you feel that your lack of female friendships in a way came from your lack of self-worth? You're saying, I don't have anything to give.
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure. For sure. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I didn't think, you know, I'm so shy. I felt like I couldn't contribute anything to a conversation, that I wasn't funny, that, you know, I wasn't even that smart. So what could I, you know, add? And now I'm like, that's not true. I have a lot to add, you know, and yeah, you just get so much out of, I just get so much out of friendships, and I feel like I'm really seen.
I think this is really important. I'm going to put this out there, because there's a negative stereotype out there that men and women can not be friends, and there's this whole, you know, Harry met Sally type of stereotype or whatever, and men and women can be friends, but I think there's a huge value for men to be friends with men and women to be friends with women, because you get a different perspective from your sex.
Oh, totally.
And I think that's really important, you know, for men too. I think it's very important for men to have, you know, there's male empowerment groups and other things, and it's very important to have friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, things don't have to be as hard as they seem. You know, things seem hard when you're not support, when you're not supported, you know? Like, if you just have a support system, like, it makes everything a lot easier. So, yeah, I'm all for having friends.
Yes. What is the toughest prune you've ever had to write?
Well, honestly, about the sexual abuse. That was really hard because it's only a recent thing. Have I shared about that?
What happened when you, in the story, you said you went to a therapist and the therapist said, Dixie, you're a victim of incest. What did you think when you heard that?
Oh, I like freaked out and I told my boyfriend at the time, I'm like, oh yeah, we cannot see her. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She claims everyone's a victim of incest. And it wasn't until I read, I'm blanking on the name of the book. I'll remember it and I'll email it to you.
Okay. And we'll have a link.
Okay.
On the website, outoftheboxpodcast.com.
But no, I just started, when I saw my new therapist, she's like, oh, that's sexual abuse. Just but because before I thought, you know, I just belittled everything. Also, I was just trying to survive. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal for my dad to consistently have sex in front of me.
What do you think was the reason for this? Why do you think he didn't say, Dixie, go in the other room? Dixie, close the door.
Because I think he's in a, what's the, what's the, you having sex in front of other people?
Exhibitionist?
Yes. I feel like he's part that, and just also he likes to ruin children's innocence.
Oh my gosh.
Who knows? My dad, who knows what happened to my dad? Something probably definitely happened to him when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very powerful. It was a very powerful blog entry. My only criticism is I want more. They're too short.
Well, I'm writing a book. And that's, you know, hard too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it an autobiography or just stories?
Yeah, it's a memoir. But just like, yeah, one story after the next. You might be in it.
Oh my gosh. That's okay. You gotta give me a little dedication thing though or something. Uh-oh. As long as you say when Rosie came out in those backless shirts, she looks so good.
Yes.
So my 35-year-old self can look back and be like, oh, you were hot back in the day, Rosie. Actually, looking back now, I kind of think this is really sick, but I kind of think every woman in her teens and 20s should take sexy photos, because once you start getting older and things start sagging, you're like, man,
maybe not teens,
late teens. Late teens. Like 19, 20.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you still should do a sexy photo shoot.
I agree with you. And I was being anti-feminist by saying 20s, but I just sometimes, you know, things sag. I look in the mirror and things are sagging.
I know, but that's beautiful, man. But that's also
you're right.
Brains,
you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right.
Yeah.
It's that creates body acceptance.
Yes. And also women are beautiful no matter what age and are sexy. You know what I mean?
I agree, so. But I just wish I had one nude photo from when I was 25.
You don't have, wait a second. I thought you did.
I don't have any nude photos that I know of. Uh-oh. To my knowledge. Yikes.
Yeah. I think there's some.
Oh, no. But yes, but I just think, you know, the older I get and the more things start to move about, I just feel like, gosh, man, it's like, I'm sure you've experienced this, right? You were really insecure in your 20s, but, you know, you probably look back and think, what was I so insecure about? I look great.
Oh, I know.
What was I thinking?
The first time I thought I was fat was like, you know, 15 pounds ago. You know what I mean?
You're like, I wish I could be as fat as I used to be.
Pretty much. But like, you know, why can't things jiggle? Why does everything have to be tight?
It's true, and things are not always tight. And you had a meme up that it came from another woman. You said, should I just enjoy my one life or worry about my underarm jiggling
Well, no, it is fucked up. Like, if you saw a dog and its bones and, a really skinny dog, you would be like, oh, my God, it's so awful. But if you saw a skinny woman, you saw, her collarbone, you're like, oh, I'm jealous of that.
Have you experienced that in Hollywood, being an actress? I know I have, but probably in a different way than you have. With me, the criticism, and it's gotten a lot better with all the criticism in Hollywood since Me Too and other things, but I got a lot of Asian criticism from casting and other people like that. But have you experienced that as a woman? Just any casting or any?
More from acting teachers. I had an acting class teacher tell me to lose that ass 15 pounds ago, maybe 20 pounds ago. I get it from wardrobe, actually. They're kind of mean to me. But no, I work a lot commercially, but I feel like they want real women, and I'm like, I'm just a regular, I have a regular body, I am Hollywood chubby, but in the South, are you kidding me?
You're like, I'm a 10.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I miss that.
I do get an immediate boost when I go back home. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys in Louisiana.
Me too.
Especially, I don't know if you've been to any reunions or everything or anything, but when Hollywood, definitely you have to do a lot of maintenance. Let's just say that. I'm not going to insult people that haven't done maintenance, but
oh my God, well, the 10-year test or the 10-year game. Did you play that?
No.
Where you showed a picture of yourself 10 years ago.
Oh, on Instagram.
No one ages in LA, but a lot of people age back home. But no one, I did not age that much.
You didn't. You look great.
Oh, thank you.
I think I did age just because the 25-year-old me being Asian looked like a 15-year-old me. Mm. So I looked nice and svelte for a good time there. So now, hopefully, I don't know. I feel like I look really young, but then I had a... So we used to do Airbnb, and I had an Airbnb guest stay with me, and she was 25, and this is when I was 29. I said, how old do I look? She's like, I don't know, 32. I'm like, oh. I'm like, go back to Sweden or wherever the fuck you're from, lady. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really excited that you're writing this blog, and what made you decide to start doing it?
I've always wanted, for me, I struggled about where I belong, even in the comedy scene. I'm like, I know I belong somewhere, but where, with stand up, it's just hard because of the men are very toxic and it's depressing. Also, I wasn't able to tell certain jokes, and then improv.
So what does that mean? You weren't allowed to tell certain jokes?
There's always had, because you only have X amount of time,
And you do storytelling.
And I wanted to do storytelling. And then improv is so glib and annoying. I hate him. And then storytelling, it's its own scene. But I don't know. I'm like, I need to express myself somehow.
One woman show.
Somehow. But, and then I'm like, I'll do a blog, even though blogs are everybody has a blog. Kind of like podcasts. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody has a blog. But I'm like, no, I'm going to, my blog is going to be different,
And also, I just want to say, you never really know who you're affecting, when you write your stories. Maybe there's someone who had a situation like yours and they didn't realize until they read your blog. And, I know I've thought about quitting stand-up 9,000 times. Mm-hmm. And I had, I've been overseas to perform for the troops. I had a former soldier vet come up to me and said, if it wasn't for the comedians who came to visit us, I would have blown my brains out.
Wow.
So you really don't know. I know it just feels like, oh, Dixie's little blog, but you're affecting people.
Yeah. No, I feel that. No, I feel like I'm on the right track for the first time. Okay, this is kind of my purpose.
Yeah. I feel you more as a storyteller, too. Mm. And you come from a family of storytellers. Your uncle is a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
A little narcissism. If you write about me in the book, are you going to change the name?
Of course.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, I want to be a new book.
Don't you want me to change your name, or do you want?
I want people to know. Wait, how dysfunctional are you going to describe me?
Well, I'm not there yet.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. As long as
But know. I'm going to change your name.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
That's fine?
Sure, what?
Okay.
I'll know in my heart it's me.
Okay.
I'll know
yes,
in my heart.
Yes, yes.
Unless it's really fucked up, then I'm like, that's not me. Yeah. That bitch is crazy. She's like blogging weird. She's a liar.
Okay. Deal.
How did you get into stand-up?
Well, my dad, you know, he forced me. But
again, I was jealous.
No, but he did awful things, you know, because he made me and my brother steal jokes, as you know, right?
Yes, I do know.
Okay. And because of that, like, the most important thing, as you know, with stand-up is to find your own comedic voice.
Yes. Express yourself. Be creative.
That is the most important thing. And his thing was, like, no, stage, you know, stage presence. And so he would have me steal material. And then I feel like my brother is still recovering from that, you know, because, of course, people are going to laugh at your jokes because they're polished jokes. They're not your jokes, you know. So when you write your own jokes, they're not going to go over that well. And it just, it's a whole thing. And, you know, he also wrote all my papers. And he did my homework.
That's like every kid's dream, Dixie.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's awful.
You felt stunted. You felt like you weren't smart enough, that you couldn't do it on your own.
Yeah. The most important thing is to find your own voice, to discover who you are, you know?
Yes. And you no longer steal material.
No.
It's all authentic.
Yes.
Who is your favorite comic to steal jokes from?
I think her name is Paula Bell. Is that a comedian? We would go to some club in New York where they wouldn't be that famous. Well, of course, now they're like huge because they're performing at the Comedy Cellar, but they weren't on TV or anything.
So you would fly to New York just to steal jokes?
No, spent a summer in New York, and my dad flew in and we tape recorded.
Oh my gosh.
I shouldn't be saying this.
No, this is important. Don't steal jokes, comedians.
No, do not steal jokes.
Did you feel guilty?
I felt guilty, but because I don't steal jokes, and I really, my dad really did force me to do that, and
he sounds like a stage mom from hell.
Yeah, he kind of is, yeah, but I don't do that anymore, but there's no point.
Because you have such a strong voice yourself.
Yes. Yeah, and that, yeah, I'm like, I'm funny. I don't need to steal. I can write my own jokes, you know. And it's bad for a parent to, you know, do that to a kid. You're not good enough. To have that whole saying, oh, I'm not good enough.
You also are a writer director, which is like a big deal.
Yeah, well, more of a writer. I did write these, a lot of short, you know, films. And it is, yeah. It's hard work, man. It's wearing a lot of hats.
What's your passion? If someone was like, I'm a genie and I'm going to give Dixie the career that she wants, would it be acting, writing, author, stripper?
Stripper would be great. I need more upper body strength, though. I think right now I would love to be like a novelist, but then I would want to turn my books into a TV show. But I don't know, maybe play a small part in it, but mainly writing. Yeah. What about you?
I want to be a personality, a miscellaneous personality. So you know those annoying talking heads on like The View and other shows that people are like, why the fuck do we care about these women's opinions? Mm-hmm. I want to be one of those annoying women.
Really? You want to be on The View?
I would love to be on The View. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm mainstream enough. I have a lot of out of the box, no pun intended, points of view about things. And what I've noticed, unfortunately, is that a lot of people that have very strong opinions in the mainstream media get shut down. Other than unless you're too powerful to shut down, like someone like Oprah, our favorite Oprah. Mm.
Or even Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I did not know that about you.
I would love to be a personality. I want people to listen to my stupid opinions and be forced to listen to them. Be like, why do we care about this bitch? because I have shit to say. Mm. So just like you, I want to be heard. Yeah. I really want to be heard. And I think that's something, you know, my upbringing is very different than yours, but very similar in that I wasn't heard.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, I'm saying I looked up to you because I thought, you know, oh my God, he's really supporting her. I wasn't, you know, allowed to talk. My mom didn't like me laughing out loud. I wasn't allowed to laugh out loud. I loved hanging out with you and your brother because we could just cackle and we would do our awkward cackle laugh like we just did. I couldn't laugh like that at home. My mom would say,
"Stop." Are you serious?
Yeah, she would say, "Stop laughing. It's not ladylike. Cover your mouth. Don't laugh."
Wow.
Yeah. So I was expected, and you know, my dad was also my dad is an amazing, amazing, wonderful guy. But he, growing up, you know, he had all this Vietnam War trauma. He was very misogynistic. He's changed a lot, actually. I've talked about this before. The biggest blessing that ever happened in my life was my brother coming out of the closet, because he really shifted my dad. But post my brother coming out of the closet, it was like freaking hell. It was hell. It was a nightmare. I wanted to be at your house with your dad being annoying.
Wow. Your brother older or younger?
Older brother.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna wrap up because it sounds like the leaf blower is going on outside and it's been an hour. Dixie, yikes. Where can people find you? Please speak right into the microphone.
Oh, yes. Well, my blog is Eat My Prune. So www.eatmyprune.com. And Twitter, Dixie Perkinson. Instagram, Dix Picks. But DixPix.
Very punny. Very punny.
Yeah, not Dick. and yeah, that's it.
I hopefully won't have to re-record this because there's a loud leaf blower going on outside. But you can check us out at outoftheboxpodcast.com. Guys, go on Anchor and donate. Donations help support the podcast. And also, as always, Apple iTunes podcast. You can leave a positive review. If you love the podcast, leave a positive review because that's how people find out about the podcast. If you hated the podcast, then leave a negative review. I don't care because reviews are ways that people find out about the podcast. Go on Apple, iTunes, and where all your podcasts are found, and we're right there, Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran.